What's up, everybody? This is Cash.
This is Bass.
Boozer.
This is Feeve Boogie.
And this is J.E.
And you're listening to the High Life Show. Check us out.
Oh, gosh. If I'm editing, that will not care.
This episode will be edited by the great J.E.
Yeah! This is the High Life. The High Life.
Yep. All right, I'll get us started. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yo, what's going on, PDX? What's going on, Internet? This is Feeve Boogie, and if you're hearing my somewhat illustrious voice, that means it's time for yet another episode of the High Life Show. And of course, I have with me the entire High and Low Lives crew, my guy Big Boozer, my boy J.E., my man Bass, and of course, last but not least, Cash. But nah, man, we hope you guys have been doing all right. We hope you had a good week. Hopefully the start to your 2021 is progressive and prosperous. Today is January the 17th, Sunday, the Lord's Day. And, let's get into it. Let's go around the campfire, so to speak. Bass, bro, what's up with you, man? How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Doing great. Thriving. Nothing new, my usual, playing video games, working out
2K,
for the week, over the weekend. I actually played 2K this weekend, only because of the James Harden trade.
Yeah, so
I started playing again. I started playing again.
I have a question for you, Bass. Did they adjust his speed rating? Because, he's gained a couple of pounds. You know what I mean?
He's still super explosive.
okay. Game isn't realistic. Throw the whole thing away.
You can't play with Kyrie, and you can't play with Dinwiddie. Like, they're off the table when you play now with them. So, and the Nets are still really good on 2K. So,
Yeah, man. It's fucking crazy. We'll talk about the trade a little later, man. But yeah, keep at it, bro. I keep telling him, like, when we're offline, I tell him, listen, like, you need to start playing competitively and shit, because he plays 2K all the time and he plays For Honor and all of that. Another path to wealth. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I mean, one of our members is already on, within the wealthy 1%. Ain't that right, Cash? Ain't that right, Illuminati Cash, aka Spock Dollar Sign?
You gotta believe it.
What the
it,
fuck
Feeve.
Is going on?
Believe it. Just chilling, man. Building wealth, stacking my coins.
You goddamn right. About to take over the whole Southwest.
Yes. In the process of moving as we speak. So.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Congrats, man.
Thank you. So hopefully we all should be done in a month from now, hopefully. So
you're going to throw a quarantine house party?
That's
what I'm hearing.
No, yeah. I'm staying the fuck away from people. So. But yeah, no, under normal circumstances, I probably would do something like that. So,
Just
looking forward to getting some space. We miss having a yard, just being able to, because we just have the patio now and then.
You got to put the boat somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I understand.
I think a boat is a waste of money. I can't swim.
The boat can.
Until
it can a life jacket.
Yeah, get a couple life jackets, some lifesavers.
An adult life jacket.
There you go.
No, I think when you're on a yacht or a boat, just having a life jacket just puts paranoia among the other passengers, and that's not cool.
Yeah, let them know it's real. We can go over anytime.
Dog, I had an awful experience with a boat several years ago. Like I did parasailing, and
that's why.
Yeah. Like when we actually got up there, when we actually started the actual parasailing portion, that was fine. But like the whole ride to get out into the ocean was fucking turbulent, man. It was fucking crazy. Like, it was, I mean, we shouldn't have been doing that shit that day anyway. Like, it was I think a storm was coming in, and like, you know how they have like,
yes it was Feeve.
You get struck by lightning up there.
Storm was brewing.
The storm was brewing, dog. Yeah, it was, more ways than one. But like they took us out like on the the little inflatable banana boats and shit like that. So they had to drag us out there on that. It was like tugging, like it was being tugged by a fucking jet ski. So I can't swim either. So I'm like holding on for dear life, having like 10 heart attacks every second and shit. And then when we get on the actual boat, like I said, the tides are, like the water is really rough or whatever. So what happened? Like I think we went over one big wave, and the woman I was dating at the time, she like flew into the air and threw like a fucking Hulk Hogan atomic knee right on my fucking baby toe, like right on my pinky toe, dog. I almost punched like the guy that was sitting next to me in the face. I was so mad. Like I'm already scared because I don't fuck with water like that. And then like she didn't do it on purpose, obviously, but like, you know, she lost her balance and flew into the air, bow, right on my fucking knee. I mean, well, right on my toe with her knee. So
just to be clear, how many of us on this shit can swim?
No. Due to systemic racism.
I can swim, just not as strong. I can't tread water very well. That's my problem.
Yeah, I got a strong doggy paddle, man. So, you know, okay. I had to get out of Dodge. So,
so 40% can survive in the water.
So, wait. So, Jay and Base, you can swim too?
I can swim. I just don't have a strong, like, treading water. But I can. You drop me in, I can get from one end to the other end. I just won't stop moving.
Drop me in, I'm going to be where you drop me.
So there you go. That's pretty apropos, right? Like they edit the shows for us or whatever. You know what I mean? Keep us out of trouble, and it'll also save us if we make around or whatever like that. Okay. So
I don't know if I can save you. I can save
myself. You got to have that every man for himself mentality.
Ah, damn! This ain't a swim, bitch.
Yep. Come on, if you coming.
Yeah. Well, Jay, what's going on, man? You holding swim classes up out there in upstate?
Nah, I told you, man, I got the doggy paddle. If you need that, I got you. Other than that, you on your own.
Nah, I feel you, man. You doing all right, though?
Nah, everything good. Oh, I'm going to let you guys know something I didn't say. I've been rocking with some Noom for weight loss. Trying something different. Mm-hmm. Y'all heard of that?
What is that?
I saw the commercials.
It's on YouTube.
Yes. For the listeners, like, tell us what that is, Jay.
It's all that CBT stuff, the cognitive behavioral therapy. So it kind of reinforces better choices as far as food choices and activity and things like that. So that's what the biggest selling point of it is, instead of focusing strictly on diet and exercise.
So it's like somebody's talking to you, or you're reading something.
Daily, there's like articles and stuff that you read through, and you have like a coach and an assigned group. So it's like all about positive reinforcement for the most part. So like I said, a lot of it is based in psychology, but they also have you track your meals, track your activity, water intake, sleep, all of that, you know. So pretty comprehensive. I think it's pretty cool. It's been about 2 weeks. Yeah, a little over 2 weeks now. I'm down about 5 pounds. I kind of like it. Thank you. I kind of like it. It's a different approach. And, you know, my thing is I'm a yo-yo dieter. So, you know, I'll be up.
I never heard that term before. Yo-yo dieter. I like that.
Down 20, 30 pounds, and then I'm up another 20 pounds. So I'm just trying to find a sweet spot so I can stay out. Yeah, exactly.
You're like Jonah Hill, right? Like, it's like, you know, he'll lose a bunch of weight and then balloon up to where he was at Superbad or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you're not that bad or whatever, man. Like, you know. Look fine to me, but you know, I appreciate what you're saying.
That's
what's up. So yeah, for the listeners out there,
definitely. So far, like I said, I'm only about two and a half weeks in. So far, I would recommend it, especially if you're not all about just, you know, strict diets like keto. Yeah. And no disrespect to keto or anything like that, or Atkins, or just a strict diet. I feel like something, you know, psychology, the longevity of, you know, approaching weight loss to, all right, this is something that I'm going to be trying to maintain my whole life, rather than these 3 months I'm trying to get the beach body. Then after that, you know, I could just go crazy.
That's me.
It's behavior change. That's why.
All summer 2021, be out on the beach with your face shield, double mask, fucking six pack. What else?
Vaccinated up.
That's right.
No doubt, bro. Big fucking boozer. What's up, bro? What's going on?
Not much, man. Just enjoying the long weekend. It's a 3-day weekend, but, you know, got a lot of chores and errands to run. So trying to handle all that. Felt pretty productive yesterday.
I'm going to continue
that tomorrow. Oh, just regular shit. But had to get a nail patched in one of the tires on the car, and got to take the other car on Monday for usual like inspection, tire rotation.
Well.
Says the man who also has two cars.
It's
cars.
Not currently. He's in the market for his second car. That's
Tesla.
That's the
thing. Get that Tesla.
Yes. If any, I want to know you guys' thoughts on
that Cybertruck.
Yeah.
That's what he want. He want that Cybertruck. Don't you, Cash? Don't lie.
Absolutely not. That car is a hipster pickup truck. I said it, and I'll repeat it. Yes, it is.
He know what he wants.
Maybe the
finish.
The Model Y
finish.
The Model Y would be a nice.
How do you feel about the third row seats in that car? Some people say it's a waste of time and a
hassle. Don't do it. You might, yeah, you're not. No one's ever going to sit in it, so you might as well just get the 5-seat configuration and keep the cargo space as is, because you're never going to actually pick up those that third row. You're going to keep it down for cargo anyway. So don't pay the isn't it like $10,000, $7,000 for it? Like it's a lot of money to get the option. It's not worth it.
Yeah,
it ain't worth it. It, and if you're going to get a 7-seater, go up to the Model X anyway. Like,
but that's like 90,000 minimum.
That thing looks like an alien ship.
Okay.
Exactly.
You're saying 90,000, it's normal?
No, I'm saying, no, I'm not. No, it's not normal. But if you need that much space, you should be, you know, think about what you really need. Do you have seven people to transport?
But I don't trust them opening in a, even though they're supposed to open correctly in a parking lot, I don't trust that shit.
That's, I think it's going to smash up.
I think it definitely depends. Like, it can fuck up, I would think, and, you know, depending on how close those spaces are together. Like, it doesn't judge, like, oh, I need to be extra tight in this opening. Like, it is what it is. And if you get into a tight parking space, yeah, you're going to fuck up both cars on either side of you. And yours. So yeah, that's three different insurance claims right there.
Right. So no. So, but Mordica, we can talk about the car stuff later. What about you, Feeve?
I'm good, man. You know, just another day in paradise, so to speak. What did I do this weekend? Nothing really of note. Well, I mean, you know, where I live in Georgia, everything is open. They don't give a fuck who catches corona. But saying that to say, I found a friend of my girlfriend's recommended this restaurant called Salaryman out here in Georgia, and it's right up my fucking alley. This shit is tremendous. It's like a Japanese American fusion, kind of has Korean options in there too, like from a food perspective and all that stuff. But like, what I was more impressed with was like their drinks, man. Like I had haphazardly saw like in their cooler like a bottle of sake, and I was like, hey, like I'm a fucking idiot, so I'm like, hey, I want that sake. Give me that sake. And she was like, well, what sake you want? I'm like, that one right there that I see, thinking that she could see what I can see. This is the bartender, right? So, she asked me, like, you know, are you a sake drinker? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, well, really? Are you just saying that? I'm like, yeah, I'm a sake drinker. I know my sake. And she's obviously, I drink sake, but I don't know my shit like that. But she did like this thing where this, I forget what it was called, but it's called like a gratitude, like a gratitude shot or something to that effect. And like, there's like this open wooden block that's kind of like a coaster, and you put like, you overflow like the glass that you drink the sake from within that coaster, and you let it spill in there. And you take a bow, you sip from the cup, right? Just so that it doesn't overflow, pick up the cup, and then you drink what fell into the coaster. You drink the sake. And I felt fancy about that, you know?
Sounds but, like communion.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
I hear
a lot
of biblical, like, Christian references here.
Listen, man, I've been a heathen for 33 years. I gotta settle down at some point, though. You know what I mean?
Gotta go to church. That's Salaryman. You found church and Salaryman.
I found church and Salaryman. You find God in the most randomest of places, right? When you're not
usually at our lowest point.
You don't expect it. Right, at our lowest points.
Wait, but that's a really odd name, I think, for a restaurant of the type that you described.
Right. Like, I don't get, like, the history on it or any of that stuff. But what's up, Cash?
Of course he knows. He knows. Well,
the top 1% knows all this.
How many times have you eaten there, Cash?
In Atlanta? Zero.
Well, let's hear it. What's your input?
Oh, no. So Salaryman just refers to the day-to-day of 9-to-5 worker at a job. If you look at those like Japanese movies where everyone's dressed in like a black suit, white shirt, black tie, that's a salaryman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then
that is true. And they do drink. Yeah, that's their thing, right? That's their custom.
They drink sake. Like, they
work, and I have found through personal experience in research, they get really fucked up and then really bad to the point where they're sleeping on the street. And then they just wake up and go home. It's a beautiful culture out there.
All right. You know? They work really hard, man.
Yeah. But I think that they die at their desk at alarming rates, too. So I don't know about working.
it's crazy.
No, thank you.
Nah, thanks for the background on that, though, bro. Yeah. We appreciate it. But no, it was a pretty dope spot. They have.
No, I appreciate you clarifying that generosity shot as well, because I thought they just wanted to just give me more, and no one really explained to me what the fuck that was. They just let me just, they would pour it and then they bowed and then they walked off. And I was like, the fuck, he didn't spill all this shit.
Right. Yeah. So like the bartender who happened to be the manager there, like she explained the whole thing to me.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'll post a video like to our on our page, something like that. But no, man, it's been a pretty good weekend, you know. To the just going back on along the lines of me being a little more tamed and domesticated, I also helped, you know, finish up mounting the TV. You know what I mean? So I feel kind of accomplished on that. Now listen, I'm not gonna take all the credit. Like it was already halfway done.
Because I ain't doing that shit. I'm scared.
Yeah. So like, I mean, like it was already halfway done. Like the actual mounting, you know, mechanism or, you know, apparatus or whatever you want to call it was like in there. But like we had to go find like the screws and all that shit and had to learn about like what screws apply to what size TV and all that stuff. So I can't take all the credit, but, you know, we figured it out. So, you know, bit by bit.
All right. Good job. I'm like Cash. I'm terrified of doing that shit myself, too.
Really?
Yours is a mountain?
It is. I didn't do it myself.
Oh, oh.
I paid
somebody. You can blame somebody when I fall out the wall.
No. I don't need to blame. I don't trust myself for that shit. No way.
Yeah. Like you have, there's a lot to account for. Like you have to know where, like, I guess like the beams are or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
you got to find the studs in the wall.
There you go. The studs in the wall. That's the right term. Like the studs in the wall. And like, there's a little device that helps you do that and all that shit. Yep. So, you know, I didn't do all of that.
But Booz and Phoebe, there's a guy that I saw on IG to prove that the TV won't fall. He puts it in the wall and then he hangs off of the bracket. And I was like, oh yeah, I need to get him. I need to get this guy. Because I was sold on the presentation. I'm like, if he could hang off of it, the TV shouldn't fall out. But then if the beams are rotten, then it don't matter how you affix it to the wall, it's coming out. So.
Yeah, mine has been up there for like 15, 16 months now, and it looks fine, but I'm still concerned that it's gonna, any moment it's going to come crashing down. And it's actually off. It's not fully level. At some point, it tilted a little bit, and I should be able to level it myself, but I've tried a couple times and I still can't figure out like which screw.
Are you the only one that notices it's askew?
Of course.
Okay.
Nobody ever said anything about it, but it bugs the shit out of me.
What's up, Jay?
Weren't you the one, Boozer, that put me on the Mountain Dream? Because I mounted two TVs already because of what you didn't tell me any of this stuff.
We're holding information.
I used those mountain things. I mean, I purchased those, and then I hired someone off of TaskRabbit to install them. Oh, I didn't install them myself.
You didn't say that. Mine's are up. But
and no, you fuck did it yourself?
Huh? Me and my girlfriend did it. So it's in there. Yo. It's not going anywhere. So I'm not worried about it. He never relayed any of that additional information to me. So about I probably would have been a little nervous about doing it.
Got it done. Listen, you're a lot handier than I am. I'm worse than Cash when it comes to this shit. Listen, my wife could probably mount that shit better than me.
If a cover rock needs four holes in the wall, there's gonna be six up there. Just saying.
Right.
Yeah, you gotta make sure that shit don't fall.
And we actually had two of them mounted. Yeah, the one in the living room and in the bedroom.
Yeah, because then you gotta hire somebody to redo your wall, and then you gotta buy.
Do you have the bracket
TV
that comes out of the wall, or it just stays there and fixes it?
Okay. No, the articulating.
Yeah. Same.
The one that swivels and all that. She has that too.
Got to. I think I finally have it in a spot. Literally, like this past week, where it won't have to be moved, because we kind of rearranged the living room a little bit. But prior to that, almost daily, I'm like moving that shit around to get it in the right spot, depending on where I'm sitting.
I'm so lazy. After I put it up and turn on the TV, it's staying there. That's it. I will adjust the couch and everything around.
Exactly.
Have the couch like on like standing on one arm.
Yeah, I'm actually debating whether or not I should remove the, like, if I should take the mounts with me when we move out of here. I don't want to have to deal with unscrewing the whole thing from the wall. And also
go back to TaskRabbit, dog. Go back to TaskRabbit. Have somebody uninstall.
That seems, they're probably gonna be like, come on, I'm not coming to unmount your
TV. It's TaskRabbit, motherfucker. They'll take it. Yeah, shit, that's money.
Yeah. Go, I want you to do what you did in reverse and then reverse your unreversing at the new place. Yes.
Right.
You throw that in there too. Like, look, uninstall this bitch. And then, you know, when I get settled in, come back and install it.
But that's the thing. Like, how much am I going to pay, right, for them to come and uninstall it? I think it would work out cheaper to just buy, leave that mount and buy a new one.
Fuck them. Like, fuck whoever owns that house. Like, I don't want to enrich.
Like, who, you know, the owner.
Oh, I got a free mount here for you too, buddy. See that?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah. No, so that's my wife's position, right? She's like, fuck it. We're taking everything that we, like, put out. We're not leaving anything. Like, we've changed the shower head, the faucet, the kitchen faucet.
Mind Take you, that
these
shit.
Things in total cost less than $35. And she's like, nope, we're putting the old fucked up one back on.
It's the principle, especially if you're moving in state. It's the principle. Whatever you put in, you take it out. On God.
Yeah. On God. Yeah, man. It's glad to hear. Glad to hear everybody's doing all right. You know, we're hanging in there. First half of the first month of the year, we doing okay. But let's
MLK
get
MLK Day.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
Good point.
Shout out to the Without God. You, we couldn't love them. So thank you.
Yes.
That's right. Jay-Z made the line or something to that effect. Martin walked so we could run. Barack ran so we can fly. So shout out to you, MLK, wherever you are in the universe.
There's a Jay-Z line for everything in life.
It is. Yeah. That was the My President is Black remix, I believe. When Barack got elected, Jeezy made the original song. And then
now, do you think they will make a My Vice President is Black song?
Probably not. I think they'll make a song if and or when Kamala becomes president, because I think that's going to happen.
Oh, the AKAs will have a fit. Oh,
yeah. Oh, y'all heard about this Vogue cover?
Yes,
which one?
I did.
Yeah.
Which is?
It has. I don't think it's come out yet, right? Like they like leaked. Someone leaked the
one with her on it.
Photo, yeah. And then there's
cover.
They're saying like they're not keeping with the dignity of the office or something like that, like her expression, because she's like mid laugh. So they're saying they're kind of like whoever the photographer was or whoever decided to use that photo as the cover is somewhat like taking lightly how powerful she is, you know, as the vice president of the United States. So and then like the background has to like is supposed to be the colors or similar to the AKA colors.
I'm looking at it now. Yep.
What do you think? What do you think, Jay?
Pink and green. I see it with the she got Converse on too.
Yeah.
Top Chuck Taylor.
Yeah.
I see it.
Yep.
Yeah. No, but what do you think of the fact? Like, do you agree with the criticisms of Twitter and everyone?
They be doing too much.
She can be happy. Why can't she smile in a photo? You know what I mean? Even if she's taking office, people read too much into things sometimes. I don't agree.
Do your thing, boo 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 boo.
I don't think it's to her. They're criticizing Vogue for picking that photo because she didn't have, or her team said they didn't have like final say over which picture was used.
Right.
Something magazine.
Yeah. Well, I would say if they're trying to advertise Kamala as the person versus the office of the VP, just to shoot him some bail, I would think there's a difference. But then in terms of how they do other people's pictures, because I thought it was an issue of her being whitewashed, like how they do everybody else. But it's like, oh, she's in sneakers. She's the vice president. Show some respect. I'm like, maybe she just wanted to show, oh, I am going to be the vice president. However, before I'm taking this job, I am pretty laid back or whatever have you. Hence the, you know, sneakers the with Trump's my pantsuit.
But if I watched her on, what's the sneaker show where that guy's? That's sneaker like shopping. One of her, that's one shopping. Of her favorite, her favorite yeah. sneaker brands. So like,
I've heard women more so complain about her pantsuits, how they're ill-fitting. And I've said that maybe it's because she has a, you know, her body of under there might not be.
I don't know why.
So, oh, you think so?
Oh, I think he's saying it's the opposite.
I think so.
Cash is saying it's the opposite.
Oh
no, no, Cash is not. Cash is saying what he Kevin Cash don't give a shit about Kamala Harris's hemmed up pantsuits.
I'm not looking at it like that.
I think she's the most attractive vice president in American history.
I agree.
That's just me.
That's by default.
Yeah,
absolutely. Did you guys catch? There you go. It's fucking Vogue. Like, what is she supposed to? What the fuck is she supposed to wear?
Well, no. I don't. So. There's a second photo that's like apparently on the inside, in the inside of the magazine. So where she is, it's more of a, what you would expect of like a president, vice president.
Yeah. That's more presidential.
Full,
business suit. So they're like saying, oh, that probably should have been the cover photo, and then use this Chuck Taylor one, you know, as the inside.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying, Boozer. Yeah.
And then like just her expression is, like I said, it was mid laugh. It's not like she was perfect. She wasn't like posed correctly.
Not a look at it.
And and they're also criticizing the lighting. So someone said that, like, they're saying like the lighting was great.
They,
so,
oh man, get
yeah,
a
it was a lot of stuff.
Did you guys catch that video of her? I think she was at like her niece's house or something like that. Her niece handed her like some mints, and then she said impeachment. I was like, that's dope.
She's like, auntie, I have a gift for you. And Kamala was like, what? And then she threw her some mints. She threw her some mints, and she's like, impeachments. And she's like, ah.
Very nice touch, girl. Well done.
Like, how old she look? Like 5 or? 15?
Well, you can't really see the niece at anything like that. Okay. I mean, I would think she's probably in her teen years or early 20s or something like that. But.
Well, I can't comment on her family, but well done, genealogy pool.
That's
I don't know who that woman is to Kamala, but
yeah. Well, look, like since we're along the lines of we're contemporary politics. I think we're talking about, we can switch things up a little bit and talk a little bit about Trumpito, this asshole. Like they actually impeached him for the second time, didn't they? That's right, motherfucker.
Take that record to the bank.
Yeah, yeah. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. But no, like obviously because of the things that happened over the past couple of weeks, him inciting a fucking mob to go and infiltrate the Capitol. That's downright treasonous in my opinion. So even though from a chronological, from a timing perspective, I don't think they'll be able to successfully remove him from office. Like today's the 17th, so I don't think it's going to go anywhere. But
this come this time Wednesday, motherfucker's out.
Yeah, he's out. I saw an article that said he's leaving like the morning of, like that. Yep. He's leaving out of the morning of the inauguration.
Yeah. He's not gone.
Right. So fuck you, Trump. For the last time, and hopefully you go into the realms of obscurity. You're already off Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I think YouTube removed him as well. So slowly but surely, we won't be able to hear from him like that. I think also in New York, like they canceled like a lot of his like city deals and do like yeah all
which
of them.
I didn't even know they had, but yeah, any Trump company that the city was in contract with, they've ended those contracts. And there's a golf course in the Bronx that they're like not doing some sort of a re-upping of the contract either.
All right, fuck him, you know what I mean. But yeah, man, like he's almost out of there. Cash, what do you think about all this, bro? I know you're like the top critic of Trump, as you should. And we appreciate you.
I appreciate the credit where it's deserved. Thank you. So I've thought that the impeachment was a waste of time. But then I was watching MSNBC or one of those news channels, and they said that you can still be impeached after you leave office. I thought it was to get him out. But after Trump leaves, he can still be impeached because it happened a long time ago, back in like 1876.
Convicted.
Yeah. So you said it again?
Yeah. Convicted. He's already impeached. You're saying he can still be convicted.
Correct. Yeah. No, because I was like, why are you going with these trials in the first place? Because he's going to leave in next week. So, yeah. So they can continue with the process in order to get him convicted. And then they could vote on another thing to make sure he can't run again and to remove all of his presidential benefits and stuff like that. So
now that's what they need to harp on. They need to make sure that they can, just disqualify this fucker from running ever again.
Because I think
all for that.
Because I think he gets a lifetime pension of $200,000. And then
take all that shit away.
Yeah.
No Secret Service either. You heard? Like, let your little fucking minions, your little loyalists help your ass out.
You know they tried to kill Pence?
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit, what's the story behind that?
So I think they were saying death is the only remedy for these treasons, because the rioters and terrorists, they were referring to the Capitol congressmen as terrorists and treasonous people. So apparently they were closer to Pence than they realized, and that they didn't want to report it out. They didn't want to make it seem how bad the Capitol police fucked up.
Yeah,
so
Pence was in the chamber literally a minute before the mobsters came in, basically looking for his ass. So he got out by the skin of his teeth to that secure room. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
Pence is pissed at Trump, too. I don't think they've... Yeah. I think they've spoken now, but, like... Pence is like, yo, you damn near got me killed, motherfucker. And
what's up with
Trump,
that?
Trump is like, no. And you didn't have my back.
Two bitches.
I'm coming through. Two bitches. Trump and Pence. Two bitches.
Right. Yo, Bass, what are your thoughts on all this, bro?
He was impeached twice. That's good. It's good that they're going to vote on the fact that he can never hold office again. That would be probably vital for our safety as a nation. And good riddance. See you later.
All right. Yeah, get the fuck out of here,
apparently,
man.
Apparently, there are some people are planning a welcome home party when he gets to Mar-a-Lago on Wednesday.
Mar-a-Lago, what? Where's that at?
Florida, of course.
Oh, exactly where he belongs.
Yeah.
The rest of the fucking lunatics. What's up, Cash?
I don't know if anyone else heard. The people in Mar-a-Lago, and again, I'm open to learning more about this. Apparently, they don't want him there. Or apparently Mar-a-Lago is a club. I thought it was a city, but it's a club. I thought
he owned it.
So apparently you can't be a resident or you can't stay at the club for longer than a certain amount of days or something like that. And the fact that he would want to live there would be in violation of the club or city or town rules.
But yeah. It's his. He does own it. Fuse point. So,
okay. Yeah. No, I was about to say, no, you got me excited for a minute, man. I was about to say this motherfucker's about to be homeless.
Homeless?
Nobody wants him anywhere. He's going to be in a fucking tent in the highway somewhere.
He can live in Trump Towers.
No, he can't. Oh, no, not the one in New York, he can't.
Oh, and then also, he allegedly claims to have changed his residency to Florida, but they have no record of that in Mar-a-Lago. So, he's just in Florida in mind.
How's that? Like,
Russia.
I'm Russia. I love it. He's becoming like an exile. I fucking love it. It's tremendous, man. Chickens are coming to roost, or whatever that term is. but did anyone, just keep going along the lines of politics here. Did anyone read about the Biden's stimulus package? I think $1,400 to the citizens, to the taxpayers. I think there's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot. Couple of billion or several billion towards vaccinations and what have you. And I think there's going to be some money towards businesses and all that stuff. What do you think about all this?
It's actually somewhat surprising. I think the plan ended up being a lot bigger than even some people, like some progressives in the Democratic Party, thought. So it's $1.9 trillion, a huge push to get the vaccine out to everyone, but also lots of money to local governments, state and local governments, which was a huge hiccup in the previous one. The Republicans did not want to give any money to state governments, but a shit ton of money is in there for that purpose. So even like New York City is already, like Schumer has been, telling like Cuomo and de Blasio, like, look, once January 20th comes, we got your back. Washington, D.C. is going to help out. And so they're looking at these crazy shortfalls that they've had with the budgets and are saying, okay, we're going to get the help that we need, because New York City is looking to lay off another 5,000 city workers if they don't get help. And they've already laid off like 7,000 since the pandemic started. I don't know where the cuts are, like which departments the cuts are coming from, but I'm assuming it's all over the place. Yeah, so that stuff, the $1.9 trillion doesn't even include, like, he's going to do an executive order separately for like the student loan forbearance and also the eviction moratorium on renters.
Yeah, so just like basically like the yes sign. Hell yeah,
for the loans.
Yeah, because that's extending. I mean, that's right now is going to end at the end of this month. So come February, you have to start paying it.
I checked my account. It says January, February, March. It says until March. So something went through that they just haven't talked about yet.
I don't know. I got my notification last month saying, like, yeah, come February, you're going to.
Yeah, I got the same thing, but I checked my actual account and it says something different, though.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so I don't know how long it's going to be extended for. But yeah, that's really? So he's also in addition to the stimulus, which is going to have to go through Congress, but we expect that it'll pass both houses now. Biden is planning to do like dozens of executive orders within the first 100 days that he's in office, and also like a whole bunch literally at 12:01 or as soon as after the inauguration is done and he gets to the White House that first day, he's signing a whole bunch of shit. He's going to rejoin the the Paris
Paris Accord or something like that.
Yeah, immigration, the ban on the Muslim countries, which I did not realize is still in effect.
Travel ban.
That, yep. Yeah, the yep. travel ban.
15K home builders or homeowners credit for new home buyers. He's giving you 15K in that.
Ooh. For new homes?
For new home buyers. The first time home buyers, you're getting 15K tax credit.
That's crazy. Tremendous.
All right. Yeah, like $8,000 child care credit, so to help pay for daycare. $8,000 per child. They're going to do, and then I think the child tax credit is being bumped up to, was it 3,000 per child? Yeah. So yeah, all of these things are like day one. Okay. But it's exciting, and like I said, people were somewhat caught off guard by the number because they didn't think Biden was going to quite go this big. So I think he's actually already seeming to be a bit, not a bit, significantly more progressive than he campaigned, or that people realized as he was campaigning.
Right. And as you should, included. You know? Right. I mean, I welcome it because, you know, you got 4 years of fucking oppression with this guy's reversing everything that Barack did and just being a total asshole with, like, helping out the American people, especially during this pandemic. So,
you know, see that stupid list of accomplishments he put out?
Yeah, go fuck yourself, Trump.
That's actually what Seth Rogen said.
Right.
My wife also pointed out, like, as I was reading off this list basically to her last night of what Biden's gonna do, and she was like, what about the kids who he ripped away from their parents
And put in those cages with the aluminum fucking blankets?
And actually that is one of the things too. I was like, oh yeah, it's here. He says he's
gonna bring them back.
Whatever departments are involved or were involved in doing that, he's going to tell them, do whatever you need to do to reunite those kids with their parents.
There you go. There you go, man. It's just a bunch of immoral bullshit that needs to be fucking reversed, man.
Right. It's kind of easy, right? It's like basically just undo everything Trump did, and then we can work on some of the other new stuff. Yeah.
Right. Reparations, police reform, you know what I mean? Student debt loan forgiveness in totality.
Yes.
You know what I mean? All that good shit. Decriminalizing weed at the federal level. All of that, man. Just bring on all of the et ceteras.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
No. It's exciting. I guess the closer we get to Inauguration Day, it's like, I personally am finally able to somewhat breathe a sigh of relief.
There you go.
This nightmare for the last 4 years is finally almost over. Yeah.
Any other thoughts, comments, or anything else we want to bring up before we move along with the show?
Anything about all the cops that are getting rounded up for being part of the riots?
Oh. Shock base.
Noni.
You get what you deserve. That's what I got to say about that. You get what you deserve. You want to be part of the fuckery? Guess what? You're going to go down with them fools, too.
There you go.
Apparently, like, local PDs now, their lieutenants and shit, have to tell their departments, hey, you get caught doing any of this writing shit, you're gonna get fired and go to jail. Like, this is a conversation
you have to tell
they're
them.
Actually
it's a
having.
Shame that
yes.
you have to tell them that shit, right?
Right, but there has been, I think, a dozen or so cops who have been arrested because they've already been identified as being part of the mob at the Capitol. So, yeah, and there's still more. There are going to be more to be found as they identify, right, use facial recognition or just go through the videos and social media to see who was really there. So, yep.
What's up, Kev?
Cops, wait, sorry. And the worst part of it is you have off-duty cops who were fighting cops, right?
I thought Blue Lives Matter, motherfuckers. Yeah. You know?
They just said that to distract from Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. We know what it is, but it's like...
We won't.
Yeah, man. But what's up, Cash? You want to expound upon what Boozer was saying?
Yeah, so with regards to the riots, this is one of my mystery topics that I wanted to bring in. So just to bring more shame on the great state of Texas, there was a realtor out of part of North Dallas, Frisco. Her name was Jenna Ryan. She took a private jet to the riots.
What?
And then came back. Her home was then raided by the FBI. She then was arrested. And then she claims that she was invited by Trump and she didn't do anything wrong. So I just wanted to shed light on the fact that, because I mistakenly said last week these people were jobless, you know, ignorant, just mindless zombies. Supporters run the gamut. They're policemen. They're people that can afford private jets. Because to think about it, a lot of those people that are arrested, they weren't from D.C. They were from, like, random other fucking states.
Right.
So
there was a lot of fundraising that went on, apparently, that they're finding out now to get people from their home states to the Capitol. So they're saying, like, oh, no one knew that it was going to be quite this. Motherfuckers were using this as a recruiting tool, as a fundraising tool for months leading up. As soon as, I guess, Trump, whoever made that day, the day of the rally, like, people started using it to raise money to get them there. I think somebody got a bus from Long Island. Like, they
shock face.
Yeah, no, for real.
I'm not shocked.
But yeah,
dude, this is like the you know, the inverse, or like, you know, the polar opposite of like the civil rights movement. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to compare it to that, but it's like, you get what I'm trying to say? It's like the negative version of that shit.
Yeah.
Like, they're organizing as best they can. Yeah, there you go, Cash. The bizarre version of the fucking civil rights movement. Like, dude, I think I said it last week. You're unjustifiably oppressed or whatever and all this bullshit. And
she also wants a pardon, by the way.
Yeah, take your pardon. Like The Rock used to say, take your pardon. Turn that some bitch sideways and stick it straight up your candy ass. The fuck out of here with a pardon. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. You want a fucking pardon? You bringing the old New York thief boogie out, man. Fuck out of here with that shit. Fuck you and your pardon. Let's delve into sports. I think there's a lot of juicy stuff to talk about there.
One little life to another, baby.
The beer.
The motherfucking
beer. Let's go,
beer.
Nets.
Oh, God. Here we go. All right, listen. I'm a native Brooklynite, so I am happy that James Harden is going to the Nets from that perspective, because of that much, and not because I like James Harden, but it kind of, you know, boosts the chance of us getting that championship this year. I think, I mean, you know, on paper, it's pretty much a lock-in or whatever, you know what I mean? But unless you've been on a rock, like, James has been very unhappy in Houston, you know, in the Rockets for quite some time now, even to the point of just, like, playing off a little bit, you know what I mean? Not playing like how he normally does. And I think there was like a press conference where he said, you know, I love this city. I've done as much as I can do. And at this point, there's not much I can do at this point. The situation just can't be helped. And he walked off. And like, there's been like, you know, people have been noticing that he's gained a lot of weight and all that stuff. I think like in one clip, some news reporter was like, you know, I think he's not missing any meals or something like that, which was hilarious. But yeah, he's been traded to the Nets, and I think was a three-way trade. You know what I mean? Like, there's a four-way trade, excuse me, between the Cavaliers, the Pacers, the Nets, and the Pistons. Yeah. So, obviously, yeah, the Rockets. Excuse me. Yeah, I'm bugging out. But Cash just threw up a flyer or a sign saying trade James Harden now. I mean, you know, I just, like I said a minute ago, it's like I feel that, yes, this is good. This increases, you know, Brooklyn Nets' chances for winning the championship. But I just don't like the guy. I just don't fuck with him like that. You know what I mean? But Bass, bro, what do you think about all this, man?
32 points, 12 rebounds, 14 assists, 4 steals. So you got to say. In his first game.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, it's to be expected, right? Like, he's James Harden. Like, he's a prolific.
No, you don't expect that in the first game with a new team.
Who is he playing?
Doesn't matter. It's a new system.
It don't matter. I would dominate it. I would dominate a daycare.
It's an NBA team. It was Orlando Magic. Yeah, they suck.
Every NBA team is a threat. Let's be serious.
Well, the Magic are doing pretty good this year, I think.
No, they're bad. Well, maybe they were, but they've been. I think they just lost 5 in a row.
Oh, okay. Well, they were doing good.
Maybe.
Yeah. Dog. That's what they did.
So, Bass, what do you think, man? Do you think it would be a failure if they don't win the championship this year?
Yes, definitely will be. Yeah. That setup, like when Kyrie gets back, even if Kyrie never comes back, it still will be a failure.
Like, right. Because in that game yesterday, like what? KD went for like 42.
Yep.
They could probably outscore a lot of fucking teams if they wanted to.
Yeah, just
them two. Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely. But yeah, like we just alluded to the fact, Kyrie, he's been missing MIA, apparently attended his sister's birthday party, and it exceeded about like 15 people. And I think the NBA has a policy that you can't go to gatherings of 15 or more or something to that effect. And,
yeah.
You know, that got him in trouble. That got him fined. He has to quarantine, I think, for 5 days. And essentially, that means he's going to miss out on about $817,000, which is fucking crazy. But, you know, this guy, Kyrie, he's the man. I'm starting to call him the man with too little fucks to give, because he don't give a shit about nothing. That motherfucker does what he wants to do, which, I mean, I'm all for that. That's my goal in life, is autonomy. Like, where's Steve? Who the fuck knows?
And he makes 33.46 million, so like, okay, he makes 32 this year.
It's negligible. Right, for him it's like, oh, I wipe my ass.
We're only like 13 games into the season, guys. There's a lot of money for him to lose still.
I mean, I'm sure he saved up his shit.
Yeah, he'll be fine. But Jay, bro, what do you think about all this, man?
I'm gonna comment a little bit about Kyrie, and I want to go back on Harden. So initially, I know offline we were talking about Kyrie, and I was saying he needs to be low life of the week. And I know on this show, we've bigged him up, you know, for kind of standing with WNBA and supporting like Breonna Taylor and stuff like that. So he's done some things for like the social justice movement. And even with recent light of situations, I guess one of his gripes was what happened with the Capitol and insurrection, him citing that being a reason why he didn't want to play and kind of not showing up. So, you know, I want to kind of dig him up for the good things that he's done before I kind of bring him down, because some of this shit doesn't make
build
any sense.
Build him up just to break you down, huh, Jay?
Well, hey, that's how it goes, but I gotta give him props where it's due, because he has done some things for the movement that, you know, I can respect. But then, you know, if you have a job, you gotta go to work, man. If you're going to work, you gotta let people know why you ain't coming in, man.
I guess, you know.
Especially if you're on a team like the Nets, are trying to win a championship now. They're chasing a championship at the end of the day. They gave up a lot of picks for James Harden, and they got Kyrie, and they got Kevin Durant. So, you know, it's a strong team on paper. And if you want to do that, everybody has to mesh. And I don't think this is like him putting a good first foot forward to me. So, that's why I was like, he has to be low life. But to go back on James Harden, so we had a conversation offline. Boo, do you remember what you said he was going to drop? How much he was supposed to
right.
drop?
Right. I said he was going to drop 40.
Didn't you try to use like a fucking Jedi mind trick on us yesterday, too? Like, he was like, oh, no, I said somebody on the team or something. You said Harden, motherfucker.
You got close. Triple double.
I don't know. To Bass's point,
it wasn't 40, though. A triple double
is harder than just scoring 40, because I was saying you score 40.
What is he known for? He's known for scoring. He's known for scoring.
Well, that's where you're wrong, though, because he's also known for averaging over 10 assists a game for a season.
I mean, all right, what are people going to say, like, when they talk about James Harden? Like, he's a prolific scorer. They're going to say that before all the assists and all that stuff.
Right. But I'll take that triple-double. But, yeah,
I asked Boozer, what did you hold there? You said your phone. You must now put your phone in a cup of rice.
I'll do you one better, Cash. He gotta put that case back on his own. Oh, yes. You gotta wear that shit for a week.
Yes.
You don't want me to have
a case.
Oh, it's invisible.
You gotta bring back the pink case, motherfucker.
Bring back the pink. Might be in the garbage.
I mean, despite all the shit that we're talking, he had a great first showing or whatever. Albeit not 40 points, but that's stat line of whatever
first
it was. Like,
player
it was crazy.
In NBA history to have a 30 point triple double in his first game with a new team. In NBA history. Doubt.
Cheers to you, James.
Nobody cares about that, but I can expect.
Right. Good, yeah, some of them stats be like mad wayward. Like the first player to score 55 points while having jersey number 55 and all that shit. I hate some of them stats. Don't make no
sense. You just invalidate what
he did. Speaking about jersey number, though, so he took So you're wearing 13, right?
And I knew what all lives matter. Get out of here with that.
The invalidating statement.
So. I'm not invalidating anything. It's just like some of the. It's like it's just some of the stats. It's like it's too derivative. It's too wayward. It's like, all right, yeah, sure. Goddamn, like some what are you them, doing? Like taking
but
out.
But not that.
Like who looks into this shit? You know what I mean?
As he was doing this, didn't the thought run through your mind like, oh, that's a really good first game with a theme. I wonder how often this has happened before. Like a triple double? Come on.
It's impressive.
He's MVP. He was MVP, what, 2018, right. Whatever year he was MVP, 2017. He's you know, the guy is nice. I'm not saying he's not nice. I'm just saying.
Well, some people say he. Some people like to say he's not.
Yeah, that's exactly what I
mean. And that's the problem.
I am people.
Yes.
I am. Fuck him.
But my bad, Vince. Were you going to say something, man?
No, I was just going to say, so... J.E., you agree with Richard Jefferson, what he was saying and how he was saying Kyrie is being disrespectful to his team.
Oh, yeah, I do. Because if you're on a team, like I said, their main job now as the Brooklyn Nets with the team they have now is to win a championship. And if you're not building from like day one, and you're kind of just going off and doing whatever you want to do, I don't think that's giving any respect to your teammates. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's like if we had a show to do and I said, all right, you know, I'm down for it. And then I don't know. I just don't show up and you guys are looking for him. AWOL. I'm not, that's not me. I'm not committing to the team. That's some bullshit, right? And we're about to blow up. We're about to go to, you know, I don't know, SiriusXM or whatever. We're going to take it to the next level and I just don't show up. That looks pretty bad, doesn't it?
Yeah, I agree.
You got to show up.
So I think. If Kyrie, I don't even know if he saw last night's game, but if he did,
saw it.
He should be concerned and want to get back on the team. Otherwise, he is. Yeah. There's a possibility.
He's like, it's like he's expendable.
We don't need you. Yeah, right. We might as well get rid of your ass now.
More depth. I think that's what someone said.
I mean, look, you got like pretty much, you know, consensus that you got the second and third best players in the fucking world on the same team, and then Kyrie is probably somewhere in the top 10 as well.
Top 10.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy. Like, it's ridiculous. And it's imperative for them to win a championship this year.
On that note, actually, from an actual, like, playing perspective, I think – so all three of them are going to start the game, right?
Yeah.
But I think Steve Nash needs to, like, stagger their breaks. And there should not be a single time during the game where one of them is not on the court.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Unless they're blowing out a team and it's, like, you know, it's the fourth quarter and, you know, they're up 40 points. Then all of them can be resting. But as long as the game is competitive, one of them needs to be on the court. There's no way any team can compete with just constantly having that guy because the other team is bringing in their bench. And then you got one of the top 10 guys still out there. Like, they're going to kill whoever's defending them.
Facts.
And also the point about when all three of them are on the court, whoever has the third best defender on the floor at that time, that person's not stopping them.
Like, dog, you can't double team them either because it's going to leave one of the other ones open.
Two, at least two open.
Yeah.
It's just unfucking fair. Like, in my opinion, like, this setup that they have now is like a new and improved version of the Thunder, right? Because they had, you know, back in the day, it was Westbrook, Harden, and fucking Durant. Now you got Kyrie, who's a way more effective point guard, in my opinion, than Westbrook. Way better shooter, for sure.
More consistent,
More consistent, better ball handling and all that shit. So, it's a recipe for success all the way, man. One other thing I wanted to bring up is I think I saw some stat line. I don't know how true it is, but, like, this is the first time since the Bulls that you have three players that have, like, signature shoes or whatever, right? Harden got his shit, KD got his shit, and Kyrie got his shit. And I'm saying that to say, man, like, it's pretty cool. But I think nowadays, man, like, it's always dope to have, like, these big sneaker companies supporting these athletes. But, you know, what I would love to see is some of these big athletes giving, you know, some more of the contemporary shoe designers out there some shine or whatever, right?
They need them. You know,
absolutely. And what I'm thinking, you know, and if this guy if he happens to listen to this, the gentleman who runs Sia Collective, he should probably look into, like, maybe getting – you know, some sponsorship or whatever for, you know, from one of these athletes. Ain't that right, Cash?
Yeah, he actually has a collaboration with Montrezl Harrell.
Oh,
so
nice.
They're making a sneaker. So he claims he will be the first black sneaker designer to have a shoe in the NBA, if that is to
pass. Can that be Dick Bolivar?
I don't know if they ever wore them on the court. Yeah.
Right.
But if that's the case, then it would be Big Baller Brand, yes. Assuming whoever designed the shoes was black. I don't know.
But yeah, it was
LeVar Ball. Have you seen the shoes? So yes.
Yeah, it just looked trash.
I mean KD, Kyrie, and
Basura.
Durant's shoes don't look good, so maybe they need to get some help.
But no, man, I'll say this about Sia Collective. What's his name?
Devlin Carter.
Yeah, shout out to you, Mr. Devlin Carter, because at first, I'll be honest. Like, at first, I'm like, who is this guy yelling and going crazy and all this shit? And I was like, damn, man. Like, yeah, you're talented, but Jesus, you're pretentious. But I have to take it back, man. Like, he obviously, like, the product is good. Like, if you look at the designs and all that stuff, I don't know what his Instagram handle is, but, you know, maybe let the listeners know what that is. But it's awesome. You know what I mean? It's really dope, some of the designs that he makes and all that stuff. And I think Bass, you put up that link out there that said, you know, like when he was talking about supporting black business and all that. You want to expand upon on that a little bit?
Yeah, so every once in a while a lot of the time he'll put out videos.
Every day.
Yeah. Very, very like controversial videos, which is great media tactics. So and one of the posts that he put up was saying that the saying that a lot of black people say, like, I don't support black business. And like he was saying, like to him, that means like you never were going to support us anyway. So like, why even like, so why are you saying that? And I think I get where he's coming from. But I think on the other end of that is like, I get why some people say it, or I get why I say it personally. I take the reason why I would say it is like, you kind of feel it a little bit more when your own is not doing up to standard or up to par where you think they should be. So I feel Absolutely. Like it kind of hurts a little bit more. And that's right. Why, that's my perspective on it. But what do you guys, what do you think it means, or what does it mean for you if you were to say it?
No, I totally agree. And you have to call that shit out, man. Like if we're not supporting our own the right way, how do you expect them to, you know, go get to that next level? If we're not doing it the right way, if we're not supporting the right way, we're being super overly critical. And that happens a lot too. I see that happen a lot too. Like we're overly critical of, you know, some of the guys out there and gals out there who are taking that chance and being pioneers and getting out there and putting their own businesses out there and all that stuff. So I totally agree with it. And I mean, like I said before, I thought the guy was just pretentious, but it's justifiable outrage. Like, come on, man. Like, so I totally agree. Cash, what do you think, bro?
Oh, what specifically did he say again in terms of?
He was saying that people saying that they never were going to support black business anyway. Mm-hmm. So like, you know what I mean? That was his gripe. Like,
oh, right. Okay. So my thing, well, this is just specific to his business and his business model. I feel like a lot of people don't really understand, because he does a lot of like custom stuff, not custom, but he doesn't have a lot of inventory. So a lot of the stuff, so what he'll do is he'll take the money, they call it a pre-order. And then I think me, and I'm guilty of that included. Whenever I buy something, I expect that shit in a week. So then that's what Amazon has preconditioned me to believe. And I think he didn't do a good job of saying, hey, I don't have this yet. I have to send the order, has to come, whatever have you. He wasn't transparent. It's more so trust the process. Like, no, people, this is a pandemic. I just gave you $300 for some sneakers. Give me some information, you know?
Right. And that's why at first I was like, what the fuck? Like, because I think I said it before when you brought it up. Like, well, this guy's using the money to, like, kind of line his pockets a little bit just to. But I guess it's growing pains, right? Like, you have to, you know, you have to let people, give people insight into your process. I'm not Adidas. I'm not Nike. I'm not any of these big time fucking sneaker distributors. Like, it takes time and I need upfront capital. So, you know, if you help me out, one, like, it should be one hand washes the other though too, right?
Yeah.
And both wash their face. Like, you show love to the people who are there to support.
Oh yeah. So I am a member of his whole little collective.
Oh, look at the card. This
guy. Throwing up the card. Go on
and
the card.
Then, because my whole thing was this last year, whatever have you, I want to do more to, you know, like community incentivized spending, whatever. Try to spend, you know, not even has to be black owned, but just not corporations. Just try to keep money within the community, whatever color you are. If you're doing dope stuff or whatever have you. I personally feel like, and to Boos's point, to Bass's point, you sort of, I don't know if it's a crabs in the barrel mentality kind of thing, but it's like, oh, you're doing it,
I'm going to criticize you, but I'm not doing it. I'm not putting no capital behind it. Right. So I'm just going to criticize because I can, as opposed to, oh, I put in mad money with you. Where's my shit? I feel like a lot of people are just criticizing because they haven't done it because they're jealous.
Yeah, that's the downside of social media, though. Like, you know, it gives assholes a platform to give their opinions. You know what I'm saying?
But at the same time, if you're a business owner, you should conduct yourself in a certain type of way.
Certain standard.
So, so I'm not going to say, oh, because, you know, you should just be it's all how you want to run your business. Again, I can't tell the guy whatever he's doing. He's only been doing this shit for 2 years. And then for 2-3 years at this point, it's very lucrative. So he's not going to listen to anything because the money is coming in. He's been releasing, I think he's been releasing sneakers every Saturday, every week since like last March or April.
Right. So it's like, oh, I can't hear you. The money machine is just too loud. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I like that. I'm going to write that down. The money machine is too loud.
Jay, what's up?
No, all I was going to say is as far as when I buy material or whatever, just looking at his stuff, you know, I like the idea that, you know, when you buy something, it's more particular to your style, like kind of like bespoke. So what he does, I feel like it caters to a certain audience and is very nuanced and niche or whatever. And when I'm looking to buy stuff from people or support, you know, some artists or whatever, I want it to be, you know, look a little different from whatever mainstream is anyway before I support them. So, you know, that's what I look for when I'm supporting Black or local or whatever. So kind of to touch on what Cash is saying, you know, more putting toward more people local in your community instead of just paying all the money to the corporations, and which we do every day, because I'm sure everybody on here has Amazon Prime or they stream Netflix or have all the so, you know, those big things, and they're cheaper for a reason because they have all these people behind them. So you might have to, because I think some people like me sometimes have to pay a little bit more if you want to buy local or buy from someone that, you know, that's putting stuff out there. But I feel a little bit better about it because at least this money is going toward, you know, kind of funding what they're doing. And, you know, it's going to kick back and I'm going to get what I like. So that's
there you go.
No, to your point, like I don't, like I was saying before, like you want me to spend, you know, $400 on a fucking sneaker. You crazy? I could go get a pair of sneakers right now for $110. It's going to come next week. But then it's like, all right. If I'm really trying to be supportive, I put my money where my mouth is, so to speak. You kind of just have to trust, not to bite off what he says, but just kind of, okay, I know if he is a scammer, I'm not going to go hungry because I gave him this money for this shoe. I sometimes don't expect anything back, but then the packages come. So I'm like, he can't be a scammer. Because the first time,
8 months later,
I know my wife was like, you gave that guy money, you never get your shoes, I'm like, it's not going to hurt me. I'd be mad about it. And I would just, like how I was doing Trump, I would slander his fucking name every time I got on. But no, the dude makes, you know, I watch his lives every Friday night. He's always on saying some very inappropriate things about what he used to do in the Coast Guard. But other than that.
Tremendous.
Like I said before, it was only admittedly, I would say this time last year, I was like, all right. I could probably start with the whole Black Lives Matter thing. I could probably start to just buy some more local stuff, designer stuff. Not everything I like, and just because you're Black, I'm not going to buy it. But because sometimes I feel like creative stuff goes too far, and it's out of my comfort zone. But if I could support, because if I was going to spend $300 on a fucking pair of Space Jams, I could give a designer $300. Like, I probably wouldn't like clothes and stuff. I have a weird body frame, so I can't trust that. But my shoes and my feet don't change. So I could invest and see how it rocks out. But like,
Cash, I'm going to stop you for a second, okay?
Yeah.
You need to be more body positive, my friend. How dare you? I have a bad body build. Shut the fuck up.
I didn't say
stop
bad.
That shit.
Unique.
What did you say? You said unique.
Yeah. Because my torso is that of a taller man. So if I were to buy a suit, the suit pants would drag on the floor. So I need to buy suits separate. We're a tribe of men out here that we struggle with this. Can't just get a 40 something off the rack.
Custom made, bitch.
When not anymore, not in the fucking pandemic, but yeah.
No, man, very great, very good bullet points.
It costs a lot of money to do all that shit.
Support Circuit 86, you heard?
Yeah.
So this next topic, and there's not much that grosses me out. There's not much that, you know, makes my stomach turn or makes my face cringe, but this shit does. So apparently in Denmark, there's a kid show, and I don't know the name of it. I'm going to let my other five. What's it called?
Joel Dillermans.
Joel Dillermans. Yeah. So is that the name of the character that I'm about to talk about?
I think yeah.
So Joel Dillerman, John Dillerman, it's a show for kids, and he has a his member, right, is apparently elongated and can do lots of different things. What do you like extends and like grabs stuff and all that stuff.
Picks things up.
It's like. Yeah, and it's like the color of a fucking candy cane, man. Like, what the fuck are you showing these kids this shit for? Like, what the fuck is going on in Denmark that this is okay? but Bass, I'll let you take this one away, man, because the shit. I mean, it's funny, it's weird, but it's a hilarious, grossly hilarious thing.
So it's being pushed towards like younger kids, like around 4 years old. But reading through the article, the guy. He's done other shows in this like very unorthodox way, but the purpose of this show is to kind of help with like male toxicity in a way, because like they're trying to show in a lot of cases where he'll make mistakes and do things like that, but he takes responsibility for his mistakes. And there's even one episode where a woman tells him to like put his penis back in his pants and he does it. So like they're trying to teach. They're trying to teach like children, like
be more responsible with your dick. Yeah. Be careful with.
Yeah.
Oh God.
The guy who's like the person that's very unorthodox, and I was reading some other stuff. Like a psychologist was saying, like kids see genitals as funny and weird anyway, and like, and looking at it from my perspective, it's like I think adults tend to like sexualize everything, and it's a little bit different from a kid's perspective anyway. So
that is your sexual organ though, you know, like how can you not sexualize?
You go to the bathroom with it too, so it's not just for sex.
yeah, but you get what I'm saying, like it's a reproductive organ, you know, for the most part. But I don't know, man, I don't know how I feel about this shit. Anybody else has any thoughts?
I think it's stupid.
thank you Booza.
No, like, I would not let either of my kids watch it, but I would be particularly concerned about my son watching it, because right. I feel like as much
he's gonna try and do shit with his dick like the guy yes. doing the fucking show. Let's be right. honest. Like that's what I'm worried about. I had a son, or like with my little brother, I don't want him watching this shit. Like
yeah.
Like the next day, he's out in the front yard trying to lift the grill with his dick and all that.
Yeah, trying to flip a burger with that shit. That's what he's doing in the show.
Hey, come on, man.
It's the embarrassment of it, right? Like, I'm walking through the grocery store. This motherfucker's going to try and get the cereal box with his dick. Like, no, that's not. I put that shit away. And right, that's, unfortunately, the only takeaway that I can see a four-year-old, like, having from watching this. They're not going to be able to make those mental connections of like,
oh, I shouldn't do this with my dick. No, I want to try it.
No. Like what the show was actually trying to say about him being a good listener and listening to women, you know, better. Like, no, he's going to see a dick out and then look in his pants and see, oh, I have one of those. Let me try
do what
Dillerman is doing. Like, no. So, yeah, it's. I don't know what, like you said, I don't know what the fuck's going on in Denmark. This should not have ever right. made it to air. And the fact, like, this is not, like, on some, like, weird, like, late night channel. Like this is on their equivalent of, like, PBS.
I think so, might have got
Bass, canceled, yeah, good. I can appreciate, like, you know, where they're coming from with it, but I just think that it's going to be received the wrong way by the audience. Chash, what's up? I'll mute your joint.
Oh, yeah. So in terms of trying to bring solutions to this problem, I think if they were to bring the show over to America, change the show from a penis to a tail and call it a day. Because other than that, it is a very strange concept. Yeah. I think I didn't want to read into the article. It's like Booza, I am a parent. And my human offspring is a female. So I don't know what she would do if she saw a man, you know, swinging about this rope from his genitals, right. fixing, yeah, acting like Inspector Gadget with his penis. I don't know
the
what the hell.
Questions that we're
going
to have to answer. I'm not ready for those questions. No, don't
not
give
at all.
Me work.
So, but like what Bass is saying, kids aren't, well, they shouldn't be sexualized. They would see that, and it would probably, to Booza's
yeah,
point,
like you,
add
it's
more
counter,
questions.
It's counterintuitive. Like you want them to do one thing, but
I would just like to take this formal point on behalf of the high and low lives to raise war against the country of Denmark.
Don't incite. We ain't on no Trump shit here. Don't incite a mob over there in that motherfucker.
No, we don't agree with that.
I think we get what Cass is saying. Like,
we have declared war upon the country of Denmark for crimes against humanity.
No.
Strap up, motherfuckers.
We will take you to the World Council. You will answer for your crimes.
What's up, Bass?
No, I was also. Are you gonna say something, Jay-Z? Jay?
Nah, I'm not talking about Diller, man. All I kind of looked at it and I saw Diller is the penis slang for penis, and man is man, so penis man is what it loosely translates to. And I was over it, man. I'm good. You got it.
I was gonna say that the producers or the makers or whatever, they also had some other show where it was like a panel of like 11 to 13 year olds, and they were looking, they had them like looking at like older male, like not male, older people's like bodies. And again, they were trying to do this very unorthodox thing of like showing that different bodies, like body positivity, and that everyone doesn't look like they do on Instagram. That's what they were trying to do.
Craziness, dog. Yeah. So what's up, Jay?
Better point. I like that.
Yeah.
And I was gonna say, I like that idea a little bit better than this guy with a penis that, you know, does everything, play tennis, hold balloons, eat ice cream. Right. Like, it should
just change it to a tail. Just change it to a tail. Dear God.
Yeah, do something. Yeah, change it. Cause like my concern, overarching concern is, you know, those are the years, these are developmental years that you're like showing this shit to kids, right? And like, what is their basis for like what they, it's like a lot of what I watched as a kid, you know what I mean? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Dragon Ball Z, Power Rangers and all that stuff. It gave me a sense of justice. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and
instead, absolutely right.
You're replacing that shit with this guy who can do shit with his dick. Like, come on. Like, what am I going to do? Be an aspiring porn star or some shit like that? So you got to be careful what you're putting to these kids' nostalgia, right? So, it's an important thing, right? So, like, you know, from a nostalgia perspective, because it takes you back and all that stuff, just like music. You know what I mean? Like, there's music out there, and it's very powerful that can, you know, put you in a place, like something that you learned, something that you was going through at the time or whatever. And, Jay, I think there was, like, a video out there that kind of talked about that, right?
Yeah, so it was something that I saw when I was scrolling through. A guy named Nathan Zed, and he kind of talked about how music kind of relates to, like you said, it gives kind of a nostalgic purpose. So, you know, songs that we listened to back in the day, we kind of cherish a little bit better than the songs that we listen to now. So, like, just some examples from my past. So, and Bass could probably attribute to this. Like, first time going to, like, the club or whatever. And we know the club, Sneaky Pete's, we was out there.
On the prowl.
In the club was heavy. That song was heavy all the time. So every time I hear In the Club, it kind of takes me back to that time. Same thing with like working out. When we first started working out, we used to listen to a lot of 50 Cent. 50 Cent is the future. That whole mixtape. We used to listen to that drink while we worked out. So when I think about working out back in the day, or kind of getting into that, you know, that's what I think of. 50 Cent is the future. And even a more recent time, like 2014, like the time that me and Cash came down to visit Feve. And we heard a lot of Trinidad James, All Gold, everything.
Word,
so that song takes me back to that. So
I kind remember the girl with the Rick Ross tattoo on her arm?
Yep. Gold room. Shout out to her. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? Like, look at her arm, dog.
Mm-hmm. So, crazy. You know, just bringing that up, I feel like, you know, music does give that, elicit that response with me anyway. So I just
want to
know how you guys feel about that.
Yeah, man, I totally agree. Like, it's like music can be served. It's like a time capsule. Like, if you hear a certain song, it's like, oh shit, dog, like this remind me of XYZ time. Like, one of the, like, I guess as early back as I'll go is, you know, I think with Junior Mafia Flavor. What was it? Was it Junior Mafia? Or I think Craig Mack. I think it was Craig Mack. So I'm
Craig, like, Mack.
Check out the brand new Flavor. Yeah. That shit take me back to like when I was like third grade. I was like 8 years old outside playing in the park during recess with like my friends and shit like that. So. It just you know, gives credence to what the video, what Nathan Zed was talking about in the video. It'll take you back somewhere and take you back to memories and things you may have forgotten about, certain values that you may have forgotten about, forgetting about where a lot of motherfuckers forget about where they came from and all that stuff. Because that's important, too. Remember where the fuck you came from. So when I think about, when I hear Flavor in your ear, when I hear the Fugees, la, 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 all that shit, you know what I mean? All that old school hip-hop shit, like from 93, Criss Cross, to make you jump, all that shit, man.
Like, that was my first illegal house party, the Fugees. They were playing Ready or Not. I was 8 years old out here. My cousin Junior dragged me somewhere. Oh, I can't talk too much about it, but it was a good time. I remember that.
Some things you take to the grave.
Yes. I was just a shy little lad on the wall, and he just pushed me into the middle of the dance floor, and the rest was history. He said, "You better go out there. You better go out there." And I looked back, he was gone.
But yeah, man, to Jay's point, like, anybody else, Booza, bass, any songs that, you know, are very nostalgic for you guys?
You guys hate me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with what the guy was saying in the video. And also, it makes sense because you hear a lot of old heads like, "Oh, my music from back then is way better than yours." It's
yeah,
like,
you don't know shit about this, youngster.
Yeah. You don't make music like that anymore. But yeah, like, thinking back, like, trying to think, like, Nelly's song, "I Love You," remember that one?
Yeah.
That reminds me of the time, like, when I was, like, I think I was, like, 10 or 11 grade when I went over to play, like, basketball in another country. Like, it just gives me that, like, brings you, like, literally back into that point in time. Like, and Fuji's, obviously, like, when I was, like, 8, 9, 10, like,
yeah,
just all the good times.
Yep. Always good to, like, go back, you know, every now and again. That's why a lot, like, 90% of my playlist in my phone, like, 90% of the songs I downloaded is, like, shit from, like, the early 2000s, some shit from the 90s and all that stuff, because it just takes me back to, like, you know, my adolescence and growing up and all that shit. Now I'm an old fart and all that, you know? But, Jay, man, I appreciate you, you know, bringing that video up, man, because it took me back. Like, I think one of the songs in the video, he was like that guy, Gautier. Somebody that I used to know.
Gautier.
Like, me and my girl was singing that in the car yesterday. Because I was watching the video. I was like, "Oh, I got to blast this shit in the car." And we just had, like, a karaoke session in it. It was dope.
Nice.
Yeah, man. But, all right. I guess we can get into Classy Humans and Low Lives of the Week. And I'll start us off with the Classy Human section. So I think we talked a lot about, even in this episode, we talked a lot about, you know, what happened at the Capitol and the fallout from that. But I think the story didn't develop until after we recorded last week. Capitol Officer Eugene Goodman, I think he should absolutely be recognized as a Classy Human because, you know, it would look like in the video, when you initially looked at, you know, things when it was being posted in real time, it looked like he was scared of running away. And I think the narrative was, you know, a lot of people took from that as, "Oh, your pussy ass is running away from these fucking pro-Trump supporters and all that stuff." But if it was somebody else, you would be like, you'd be ready to shoot them down and all that. But it was quite the contrary. What Officer Goodman was actually doing was leading those Trump supporters away from the senators who were, like, hiding in, like, I think some chamber or some room or something like that, because, you know, these guys, you know, the folks who raided the Capitol were obviously, you know, irate. And there's been reports saying that they were out there to really try and do something dirty to, like, the vice president and these fucking senators. So had not Officer Goodman did what he did to, like, lead them away from them, you know, who knows what would have happened. You know, somebody could have really got hurt, you know. And I think he kind of saved the Trump supporters' lives as well. So this guy's a hero. You know what I mean? Cash, what's up?
I just want to say that the officer, God bless him.
Yeah, man.
If it were another man, they probably would have ran towards the Senate floor and let the choppers fly. But he actually
right. did like, the I ain't right gonna, things. Absolutely. I ain't even going to hold you, man. Like, I don't know if I would have did the same thing. Like, yeah. Fuck that. It's too many of them. I got one handgun. Maybe if I had a chopper, we could go to work. But
He did the I'm not sure if you said this, but they're voting on potentially giving him one of those medals of honor.
Yeah. They definitely should. They absolutely should, because he saved their lives. He's a modern day hero, in my opinion.
Yeah, because I know apparently a lot of lesser men would have just let him into the floor and let the things blow off. But, you know, it is what it is.
No doubt, man. Any other Classy Humans we want to acknowledge? Nah. All right. Well, let's go into the low lives section of the goddamn week. I think I'm going to skip over both James Harden and Kyrie. I think we've already shared our thoughts on them. So, you know, we initially had them in the low live section, but no need to rehash that. But
No, not we.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Boozer.
No, I'm just saying, because
you want that damn championship. I feel you.
I mean, Kyrie could be in. Kyrie could be in.
Kyrie's in there. James is in there.
He still hasn't shown up to work. So,
my favorite
but
player.
James should not be in there. Also, can I just say, did y'all actually see like any like his press conference, either one since he's been a net? The smile on this man's face,
yeah,
joy.
He looks super happy.
He is like, he's just like ecstatic. Like he just what we saw in Houston for the last month
never
or so. Yeah. That's not him. He admitted.
No, I meant the output, the scoring output, the thing that makes him great. You'll never see that again in Brooklyn.
He scored 32.
He's fat. So he's not happy. He doesn't have to try so hard. That's what I'm saying.
Apparently, did you not see the thing I posted? Apparently, he already lost, looks like he lost 25 pounds in 6 days.
Overnight. Yeah. He did that Noom shit.
Because he wears flared out.
Hydroxy cut.
No, not that. In warm-ups, during warm-ups for last night's game.
Flat tummy tea.
Right. I compression tee, definitely. He ain't dropped that much weight that quick. Because in the jersey, he still got a gut. He still got a gut in the jersey. But he's motivated to lose the weight, and he will. Yeah. So by next month, like he'll be back down to whatever weight he was at last season. Right. But I'm just saying, like, he's legitimately happy to not be in Houston and specifically to be with the Nets. So all the mental stuff that people were worried about, or even physical, is not going to be an issue. So James Harden is going to be a professional with the Nets. He's going to be fine. He's going to be a better teammate than fucking Kyrie Irving.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's
Kyrie is not a bad teammate.
Yes, he is. He just left him out to dry.
I was going to let it go, but you brought it up, so I'm going to speak on it. Just because someone's paying you, they don't control you. You don't got to fucking show up to work.
Yes, you do. Well, no, you don't have to show up, but you have to at least give a reason why you're not showing up. And that was the problem.
You think he ain't tell him?
He didn't tell Steve Nash.
That first makes night. It seem like he told him.
No, Steve Nash said, I didn't speak to him. I called him.
So
and
I didn't call
up.
The police. So I didn't call the police if they were that concerned.
Because he called. No, he knew that he had spoken to his teammates.
If he was really but that concerned that he was missing.
No, no one's concerned he's missing. It's just...
This is a team sport. This is not work. This is not like going to work
it
in a
9
to 5.
It was 10 games into the season. Relax.
Relax.
Wait, man. Also, why is it going on for so long? Like, I was with him. Why is this still going on?
Because he got COVID.
He got COVID. Now he's out.
No, but he missed 4 games where it was just the personal reasons. It had nothing to do with the health protocol.
I think we're overshadowing... like Kyrie's thing and not worrying about how much LaMelo Ball has sucked so far in his rookie season. I think that's more important. Personally.
From topic to topic. Yeah. It's all good. Let's riff a little bit. I thought he was putting up good numbers from what I've seen. Yeah, but apparently not. I want to double back to James Harden real quick. Like there was a video with I think he was being interviewed by some guy and the guy, you know, kind of asked him underhanded question. It was like, well, what do you think about your conditioning? And then Harden looked at him with a smile. He's like, it's great.
It was fantastic.
That was good. That was good. That was good content.
It was, right? Yeah. So James is having fun, with his answers. I didn't realize he could be that funny. Like legit. The guy
was
like,
that was funny. That was actually pretty funny. Yeah, he's like, he has a future in comedy.
He came through. He said all the right things during his initial press conference. He also bigged up the Rockets. He was like, I appreciate everything that they. First of all, he appreciates the time he was there, but he said even for them getting him to the Nets, he's like, they worked with me. Like, yeah, it looked like it was terrible, in the media, but like. They worked their butts off to help me get here.
What about him saying they weren't good enough?
They're not.
Oh, he still sticks to that. Yeah, they're not.
Yeah. Kyrie would never say that.
That's not true. He talks about LeBron all the time.
He said LeBron, he said KD is a better teammate.
I can look over and now LeBron. I know this guy can hit the shot, definitely.
And you believe that?
No, we don't believe that. But Kyrie believes it. But he's talking shit. Kyrie Irving capable of someone said this, maybe it was Stephen A. Smith, someone said he basically is acting like he can't chew gum and walk at the same time, all the stuff that you're doing off the court you can still do while playing basketball. And oh, by the way, all this money that you're giving up in fines, you could use that money to donate to the causes that you hold so dearly, as opposed to paying it to the fucking NBA. Come to work, play your games, get your checks, donate that money to the causes that you care so much about.
I respect his decision to do what the hell he wants.
It's great.
So, I mean, it kind of reinforces why we have these guys in the low life section. You know what I mean? do what the fuck you want. Scramble the brains of the fucking press during press conferences and all that shit. Even though it's hilarious, but hey, you know there's some low life tendencies there, right? They're high, they're classy, but you know they're high end, but they're also low lives. Hence putting them in a section. I think that'll square off our low end section, classy human low life section of the week. I think the last segment of our show is quote of the week. I'll tee it up for you, Cash, but for once, like, you got me stumped on this one. I can't even act like I know what the fuck I'm talking about trying to decipher this one. But nonetheless, the quote of the week is be good or be good at it. Cash, you want to walk us through this one, bro?
So it's from Bass's favorite musical artist, Lil Wayne, goes by Dwayne Carter Jr.
So, that's why I couldn't figure it out, that motherfucker.
Yeah, so it's a song lyric with one of his better songs. I think it's No Love with Eminem, if I'm not mistaken. So I wanted to know you guys' interpretation of it. I have my own, but I just wanted, at first when I first heard it, I was like, this is one of the stupidest things anyone has ever said, not even Lil Wayne. But then I thought about it some more. I was like, oh, it has some nuance behind it. But I just wanted to know, just from the surface value, no one has to do a deep Encyclopedia Britannica type dive, but you know.
Yeah, I'll take a stab at it, and this is just literally going to be a stream of conscience, and I'm going to try and figure out what I'm saying as I'm saying it.
Yeah.
It's be good or be good at it, right?
Yes.
So I think what he's saying, where he's playing on, is you either have to be a good person and like know what you're doing, okay, or actually
good at something.
Yeah, or be good at maybe like pretending you know what you're doing.
Yeah,
like, so that way you can survive in this world. It's like you got to be able to front in some way, whether it's, you know, your corporate job, your hustling job. It's like, if you may not know what you're actually talking about, you know, even though you might have a degree in that thing, you've been, you know, you're technically an expert. You just got to be able to bullshit your way through it and make people like think
it's so. It's basically fake it till you make it. That's what it sounds like to me.
Okay, there you go. Thanks, guys. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Well,
shit?
I don't. Well, Cash has had the most time to marinate on it. So what?
No, I agree with you. It's more so, you know, be a good person or be amazing at something else that may not be considered good. You know. So
that's what I take for it. Yeah, like it's like, all right, hate him or love him, but he's all, and this is Lil Wayne, in my opinion. Like, I think Cash is a really good pick, because I think this really captures Lil Wayne as a person, in my opinion. Like, especially the be good at it part, because I don't think he's necessarily I don't know the guy personally, but at least from what I've seen, like the Trump support and a lot of other questionable things he's done, in, you know, over time, he's not what I would call a good person.
No,
but. You know, he's obviously very good at rapping, so it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, he's very successful, so. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, fuck him. Also, in terms of Teslas, because I know we were doing some car talk before the show, I just posted a video. Apparently, the sister of Britney Spears, she's mad at Elon Musk and Tesla because she's lost so many cats to them being run over by Teslas because the cats can't hear them coming. So I just wanted to put that out there at the end of the show.
It is.
She's lost so many cats.
Yeah.
Why is she like? She's a cat lady. She's a crazy cat
something.
Lady.
She needs to be the one. Animal control needs to be called on her ass.
Yeah, she sounds like one of those crazy ass cat ladies who can't find a significant other or whatever and starts like adopting stray cats.
Yeah, the ASPCA needs to go after her. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Also, Britney Spears' dad needs to let her take her money and do whatever she wants with it.
Free Britney.
Yeah, leave that woman alone. She earned that shit.
Yeah, she did.
He's a fucking low life.
Yeah, fuck you, Britney Spears' dad. Fuck you, Daddy Spears.
Yeah.
That's it for me, guys.
All right. We're pretty much at the tail end of the show. Does anyone else want to add anything before I wrap this motherfucker up?
Oh, happy birthday, Michelle Obama, and rest in piss, Phil Spector.
There we go. Happy birthday, Michelle. Happy birthday, Mrs. Obama. Forever our first lady. You heard?
That's right. Shelly O. All day. Every day.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, all right. You know, I hope you guys enjoyed our offering for this week. And until next time, you know, keep your head on the swivel. Be careful out there. Be happy out there. But moreover than everything else, be great. Be powerful. Be blessed. This is the High Life Show. And this is the High and Low Lives. And we're out. Peace.
Peace.